Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. As we begin our show, there are some things that we need to explore. Sometimes we go back and look at foundational tasks that we have talked about prior. And this is important because so many times we try to shortcut the process of achieving success. There are some approved shortcuts. There are some things that can be done. There are others that be done, or at least in the present time and circumstances and conditions. And let me explain that a little bit. When we are undertaking a project, and we've talked about success, and success is defined by the individual that is doing something. For example, I've known people, half the world has come up with the world's greatest barbecue sauce. But there are many things that you have to look at in terms of that sauce. One, is it going to be the same from batch to batch to batch? And is that important? Some of the things we look at as being important may or may not be important, because the variance may be intentional, such as when we look at wines, for example. Wines and some other products that are naturally produced can vary from year to year. Some wine years are premium, and some are average, some above average, some below. Many of those things are expected. But sometimes when we're looking at a product, we want it to be consistent, very consistent. Sometimes we see this in box wine. Sometimes we see this in larger corporations, for example, beers. And I'm not going down an avenue of alcohol. I'm just talking about products. When we talk about something, try to make it fit what you're looking at. But when people go to the store to buy a particular brand, they look for it to taste pretty much the same year in, year out, whether they buy it in one state or the other. And this requires precision in terms of taste, in terms of blending, in terms of many, many factors that the average person may or may not have. So we have to look at that. What are we really trying to do? At one time, I looked at making some seasonings, and I wanted to have a variety of seasonings. Well, I don't really have the herewithal, as it was at that time, to do this, to make large enough batches, to package it in some form. You can package it in bags, but that's generally not what you see on the grocery shelves. Usually it's in a carton or some kind of container, whether it be paper, metal, or something else. I didn't have all of those capabilities. But I found out that I could have a custom house. And sometimes you'll find this because we'll see lots of things taking place in which there are major brands and there are store brands, for example. Most of these stores don't have their own canning facilities. They have somebody else do it. Now, when they make the specification for what they're going to do, they may be of even a higher quality than the brand name. It's possible. But they know what they're doing, and they're getting somebody to do it. This is an example of succeeding with the help of someone else. I used to enjoy the spring, summertime, early fall seasons, because near my home was a custom cannery. Now, just what is a custom cannery? We were able to can fruits and vegetables and even meat products in a can, just like the ones you see on the grocery shelves. We didn't have a label because most people didn't do enough to justify a label. We had imprints or stamps, kind of like you used to hit on a stamp pad to identify what was on them. You could change and do whatever you wanted to. But they had what was necessary in order to make that canned product. For example, if it were tomatoes, they had an area where they would scald and then an area where they would be dumped into cold water. The skins come right off of them. And you could do that with other fruits, for example, peaches, some of the others. They had apple peelers. They had machines where I could take an ear of corn, stick it in there, and it cut all the corn off the cob. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I think on the corn, I could just drop in a salt tablet and basically be done with it. And come back a couple of weeks later or whatever the time frame was, and pick up my products. And I enjoyed that. Now, what I have often wondered, I don't know, there may be and there may not be. We produce a lot of product in terms of produce. Some of it can be salvaged and used, and others can be converted to something else. And we need to look at that because we're a very wasteful country. If we could find ways of doing that, I think we could possibly have a business. I'm sure that there are people around that would love to do that. People can most anything that people want. You can get anything from greens to beans to what have you. Is that a possibility that you may have access to? Some places have commercial kitchens. And so while we're trying to bake six or eight pies in our oven at home that is really not designed for that in most cases, there may be a commercial oven where we could do 50, 100. We need to explore the possibilities of what's there. This is just as we look at it oftentimes when we want to develop a product. We know what we want. We can't go out and say, I'm inventing a whoop-de-woo and I'll need this and that. Sometimes it's taking an idea. I want to be able to close this box, make it basically airtight or sealed. Maybe you want to have a smoked product. Now, when you are in a business such as this, look at everything. Everything that can possibly be useful to you. There are, for example, if you are smoking salmon or some other product, making jerky, whatever the case may be, you may also be able to make liquid smoke, smoked salt. These are products that may be pure profit because you basically don't have to pay for them. And what I mean by this, let's look at Montana. My understanding was that they had copper mines there, and the copper mines had small quantities of gold, but the gold was enough to pay for the copper mine. So you've got extra profit there. You're looking at what happens. I think about this sometimes when I think about Clara Brown. Clara Brown was a laundress in the Denver area. And we're talking about way back in, I think, the late 1800s, maybe early 1900s, but I believe it was in the 1800s. And as a laundress doing people's laundry, particularly people that were mining gold, that was a source of gold in and of itself. And let me explain that. Gold is very, very heavy. When you wash whatever has been exposed to it, small amounts of it are going to come out. they're going to be in the water, the wastewater. But if you could hold that wastewater in such a configuration that the heavy stuff drops to the bottom, you get rid of the wastewater, and what you've got is a small quantity of gold, which over time builds up. Now, if she was as brilliant as I think that she was, she probably made a fortune off of that. Now, what could you do that would also yield the same results? This is what you're looking for. You're looking for something where you can use it all. Let's take restaurant, for example. I used to visit one, and their menu would change every day, but it stayed the same from week to week to week. They knew how much to prepare, because a lot of your profit is going out. If you overprepare or if you underprepare, you can't serve all of your customers. There's a blend there. I often say that cooking is one of the least important parts of many restaurants. Why do I say the least important? Because sometimes the bookkeeping may be more important. Being the manager may be more important. But certainly you can't go in only knowing how to cook and not knowing how to do the other things. You end up in difficulty with the IRS. You end up with some agency. If you are not ready for the health department, they can shut you down. So you need to be responsive to the various agencies. And even without that, you don't want to make anybody sick. And there are many ways in which this can happen. Not all of it is totally the responsibility of the restaurant, but certainly keeping food safe is a primary job of the restaurant. Now, I was looking at another opportunity one time in terms of burger joint. And somebody cautioned, because you have to be careful how it is operated. For example, if you're closing every night and you get to a point, sometimes you go into the restaurant and everything is prepared to order. This is so the employees don't suddenly cook up 100 burgers and have a big party because nobody bought any of them. They only bought one or two, and so now you've got 90 burgers that are going to be thrown out that you take home. You have to be careful of your waste. And sometimes utilizing things that are in season, that are available, and even if we're talking about something different, if you are making burgers, do you have a good source? And sometimes the type of animal that you're using makes a difference. And I don't mean that you're going out and getting a horse or something, but the type of livestock are you using, Angus, are you using Hereford, are you using whatever, may make a difference in your product. Now, many times we set up to do a product, and it has to be of the highest quality, the most expensive this, the most expensive that. And there are certainly places that do this. But in many cases, people can't tell subtle differences and are not willing to pay for them. And so we end up with a run-of-the-mill product. Is that where your secret lies? The fact that you're going to be able to turn it out and make a profit? Or that you are going to be so exclusive that you have a special clientele? These are decisions that you have to make. I've been talking about restaurants. I've been talking about food. But the same thing comes when it comes to cars, for example, because they make cars in all different price ranges. Why? Because some people will find great pleasure in owning a lower cost, lower maintenance vehicle. Other people are willing to pay for the luxuries. And some people just can't afford the luxuries. Some people that can afford it only want this or that. And it may be that they have several cars and they want this one for this particular reason and another one for another reason. Sometimes we don't think like that because we are on limited means and we expect other people to be the same way. Always the case. And so we look at this. This is why there's a market in used cars. Somebody said, it's 3 years. This one is 4 years old. Let me get another one before something happens. And somebody else is just as happy as they can be to get that vehicle. That may be an angle to what you're trying to do. So what I'm telling you is you need to spend some time looking at tangible and intangible things. Are you going to be able to always get fresh tomatoes, fresh lettuce, whatever the case may be? How is it sourced? And is that price going to go up during a particular time of the year? Now, sometimes we can't predict exactly what's going on. I see that right now we've had a week of rain, and I understand that some of the local tomato farmers are losing their shirt because the torrential rains have rotted the roots or whatever, and it has impacted the size of the crop that's coming off. Now, if you're making burgers or something and putting a giant slice of tomato on it, are you always going to be getting it? Or if you can't, is there a plan B and a plan C? Maybe you have to put two slices of a smaller one on there. But is it going to double or triple in price? Sometimes you have to look at these things. Sometimes you have to have an upcharge. What is going to be best for your business, your clientele? We look at this. I remember in college, we used to stop at one place and get onion rings. And, man, these things were massive. They used giant onions. I'm not sure where they got them. But they always had this humongous onion rings. Sure, there were some smaller ones in there, but you were looking for that giant onion ring. What is going to be your calling card? What is going to be your unique and whatever product that you're doing? For example, you can turn out an apple pie. Many people, as they are doing this, have a blend of apples because some are better for cooking, some better for flavor, and may not stand up and may mush out a little bit. So you find that you have a blend. Is this what you want? Or can you accept the year-round changes that take place? Maybe you have, and one of my favorite places to shop is Costco. But usually they have cherry pies only 1 month of the year. I'm not sure some of the other stores may have different varieties, but usually they have apple. They have enough other products. Now, here's a store that has a model that they use. They never charge more than 15% of an upcharge on the stuff that they get. They buy in huge quantities, so they get a great price on it. And their model is to give you the best, not the widest selection. You may go in some stores and they may have 15, 20, 30 brands of peanut butter. You're not going to find that at Costco. That's not their model. The sizes are going to possibly be larger. But I found that I don't mind that either because I have a Seal-A-Meal and I can break things up into smaller quantities and store it. But even at that, you have to be careful. And so what are you going to need? Now, I've been talking about food this session. If your deal is to make or let's say even repair cars, how can you be economical with what you do? Now, some places may only do brakes. Some people may do tune-ups, but whatever. But they have narrowed themselves to a niche, a small area. Now, a dealership will have to be larger and more expanded. But if you as a person are getting started, Can you really afford to do everything for anybody, anywhere, anytime? The answer is probably no. Now, you may have to do some of these things, but is that really where you want to go? I had friends that started into the restaurant business, and they wanted to sell dinners, but they were getting a tremendous amount of foot traffic looking for sandwiches. They didn't want to go there. They didn't last an excessively long time. My mother, on the other hand, if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. And as a result of that, she was able to move more into what she wanted to do. The sandwich trade went down, and she was able to focus more on the other. When she started, the hours were extended. I mean, getting up, cooking old-fashioned grits and everything else that people wanted was a time-consuming chore. We didn't have these quick things that were ready in 5 minutes. And you had to start the coffee urn, and you had to do this. Times change. Focus on something that you can do well, and you can profit from it, and it may allow you to divest to go into other areas at a later time. We have to plan. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today is I continue to harp on the fact that we need a plan for the day. I tell you, if you want to win at a mile in a race, people are not in condition to run that winning mile right now. And sometimes we want to go out and run a mile, maybe take an hour, but that's what we want to do. We need to do the best that we can today. That doesn't necessarily mean running a mile. It may just be limbering up, getting used to it. I had a friend that was told to walk. And, oh, man, he walked and walked and walked the first day. He was second, the second, third, and it did not go anywhere. I hope that you see what I'm saying. There are exceptions to everything. But in this particular case, he basically defeated himself. So what we need to do is have small enough goals. Now, we have to be honest enough with ourselves to measure how the quality of what we did today, not just whether we met it or didn't meet it, because I've talked about this subject before. I have embarked on plans to read the Bible in a year. I've embarked on plans to read the Bible in 6 months. But sometimes you get to the point where what you're doing is calling words. You're not understanding. I'm not the largest fan in the world of those types of things because it's just a thing. You're not getting the maximum out of it. And so what I prefer to do is to study it. If I make it through half a chapter, that's fine as long as I get some understanding out of it. When I get to the point where I'm not understanding it, I need to shut it down, do something else, get fresh, and come back. Now, that we've talked about before, not necessarily using the Bible, but we set ourselves up. You think you're working for yourself now, but you go in and you work and you want to work 4 hours this morning. Sometime that may not be the best. It may be that you work for an hour, take a 5 or 10 minute break. Now, that seems counterproductive. It seems counterproductive. And I've talked about this task that I had where I did a spreadsheet in Excel. And I had to go one place and get the information, bring it back. Well, it wasn't that far, but I'm jumping from the computer, one screen to another screen to another screen to another screen. And after a while, it was tiring. My speed of completion and my accuracy actually went down. I found that I was more consistent, better, higher quality product if I took breaks. Sometimes that just meant walking to another room in the house, having a cool sip of water, a hot beverage, or something else. How do you work best? Are you more productive in the morning? I am. That's when I'm most productive. Sometimes I can jumpstart it by taking a nap midday, but I didn't grow up taking naps. This is something that is a recent innovation. And I find that I can take a nap of a few minutes, wake up refreshed, almost like I did in the morning. Now, when we're working for someone else, we don't necessarily want to be seen sleeping, although some businesses have found that that's an advantage to do. What are you going to do with yourself? What are you going to do with your employees? How are you going to run this operation? You see another operation run, and you think, wow, I could do that, but I would really like to do this. Work towards it. Work towards it. If you want to pay your employees more after a whatever criteria, as long as they meet a criteria that allows for success, why not do it? We have these questions that come along, but we often forget about them because we don't write them down. Now, this is a very simple thing, but most people say it's too simple for me. I can remember that. I know that. And then 2 weeks from now, you've completely forgotten about it. Planning is vital to success. Planning is vital to success. So when we look at this, if you have things that may be in season at certain times of the year, I remember somebody gave my mother 3 pumpkins. I think one was 150 pounds and 2 of them were 100 pounds. She made pumpkin everything. Pumpkin bread, pumpkin souffle, pumpkin soup, pumpkin this, pumpkin that. Good stuff. Good stuff. But you have to be able to utilize. If she couldn't have been able to utilize it, it wouldn't have done her any good. We have to look at that. And we have to see what's coming up. Some things are seasonal. Like the price of chickens may fluctuate. In the summer, they may be higher because everybody is doing it, or using them. What products can you make? Can you make some and use them later in the week or in the year? Now, she had a walk-in refrigerator and a walk-in freezer. Now, things don't keep forever in a freezer, nor do they keep forever in a refrigerator. But with proper planning, they could work. If you're working on a book, for example, sometimes, or at least I found for me, other people work differently. Because let's talk about two different ways of doing it. Some people want to work best when they have an outline from beginning to end or from a beginning to somewhere in the middle. And they work better that way. Some people fly by the seat of their pants. They may have characters in this, and those characters may take the story completely different direction from one day to the next. Some people thrive on that. Some people go where the character takes them. Some people do it the other way, and both of them can be successful. The question that comes up is, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I remember certain times of the year making candy apples like you find at the fair. And, oh, man, they were brisk sellers. Sellers. Not sailors. Sellers. Sellers. They went briskly. And there were other things that you could take advantage of on a seasonal basis. I can tell you what it's like to get burned with hot candy. It ain't fun, folks. You jump around and you can't sling that stuff off of your hand and it's still burning, and you need to have some idea of what you are doing. So we look at those things and make decisions accordingly. May be completely against your wishes. One of the things that I had wanted to do was to be able to age steaks, age beef. And most people get it and want to cook it the same day, and that's okay. It's a good product. But many times you can intensify the flavor and tenderize the meat by keeping it in certain conditions, temperature, humidity, sanitation above all, and make a fantastic thing. This is why you can go in one place and get a steak for $15, $20, and then the next place it may be $50, $75. There is a difference. Some people are not willing to pay for the difference. Some are. But we find that if you, excuse me, if you pick the wrong path, you may be in trouble. You may be in trouble. What is your unique position of what you're going to do? Some people may want to write fiction. Some people may want to write nonfiction. Some may want to write poetry. And we're jumping back into a different category. But I hope those of you that this touches on can see what's taking place. The principles that we talked about before can serve into this. I find that I am particularly productive, more descriptive, when I have a window where I can look out. Occasionally see birds, deer, whatever, wandering around. It keeps me fresh. I have written in places in which there were absolutely no windows. That was a type of thing when I was doing scientific writing of that nature. It didn't bother me so much. I didn't need to have to be descriptive. I didn't need the imagination. I needed to focus on the facts. And I could be in a room there with no windows, no doors. Well, you have to have a door to get in. But that was a completely different environment. What do you need? What do you want? I hope that you read this week's post that we have on AmazingBlackHistory.com. Because we talk about Charity Adams. Charity Adams, along with Lieutenant General Gregg, Arthur Gregg, are having a military base named after them, and that is a former Fort Lee. America has made a decision that they are going to rid approximately 9 or 10 bases of their Confederate connection. What has taken place in this connection is that many of these people had to resign commissions in the United States of America. And they were military people. They had to resign their position. They had to take off their United States uniform, lay down their United States weapons, pledge allegiance to another country. And that was those seceded states, the 11 states that seceded. All of the slave states did not secede because there were four slave states that remained in the Union. And then they picked up arms, put on a different uniform, and fought America. This is very offensive, particularly to those people that were being fought over, such as the enslaved people. Now, we didn't have enslaved people now, but we did at the time. And whatever people say, the primary cause of this war was a battle over uniting the nation, whether it was slave or whether it was free. And it turned out that we had to go into this battle. But what we end up doing is offending many, many people who are just repulsed by the idea. Gregg N. Adams, Charity Adams, was a lieutenant colonel who served overseas with the 6888 Postal Battalion, and they had 2 years of backlog on mail. They thought if they put enough people on it that they could get it down and done in 6 months. But under the leadership of Charity Adams and a group of dedicated women, they got it done in 3 months. And then they were moved to France. They did yeoman's work. And that base is being named after the two of them. And I agree with it and see others. I had a son and daughter-in-law stationed at Fort Hood. Fort Hood is named after John Bell Hood. And he wasn't even a very good general at that and lost tons and tons of people. But it repulsed me to know that they are now putting their life on the line and honoring somebody who fought against them and fought against everything that they stand for. You have to be careful of that in business. We're seeing now people making decisions that are costly in terms of business because they want to speak out. Some people are able to do it and some can't. Some are not willing to make the commitment. Some are. What is your position on that? Are you willing to take a position? Do you want to take a position? Would you rather stay in the background? Because we have a number of people that we have not talked about at this point who are maybe into marketing. In marketing, you can be on camera, or you don't have to be. You may do other work, or you may have someone do it for you. You may even have a person represent you. Look at Jake from State Farm. They have evidently paid him very good money to do what he does. And we see this from time to time. Jared with Subway was such a person until he let his personal desires and everything get in the way. Some of these people make very good money. And you could do the same thing. This is where we go back to the team concept of you directing what needs to be done. Are there things that you can do? Yes. This is one of them. But you could also turn the bookkeeping over to a bookkeeping service or someone else to do and allow you time to do something else. Every restaurant is not necessarily run the same. When you go to McDonald's, that burger is made by several different people working at a station. The station says, put ketchup on it in this arrangement, this much, this way. This is what you are supposed to do. When I was making hamburgers, I did the whole thing, from taking the order to preparing the food to serving it. And that worked in that time, in that place. May not necessarily be. But when we go back and look at what is possible, what do you want to do? How do you see it being operated? You're going to have to spend time on this. And you're going to have to go back from time to time and evaluate it. Evaluate your plan. When you put out a day's schedule, there are times when that schedule needs to change. And it from day to day, it may change. This is a sign of a good leader, knowing when to and when not to. There's not a book that's going to put all of that into your mind. I hope what you're doing now is you're listening, you're making notes, you're planning, you're being fluid, you're being influenced, but not to the point where you're doing something that's detrimental to you. What is in your best interest at all times? Like I said, I had a situation where I needed a logo, and it was taking me an enormous amount of time. I wasn't capable of doing it. I'm not that creative in that way. And so what was happening, was harming me, was something that I could have somebody do for $5 or $10. At that point, I was foolish. I was stupid to waste time worrying about it. At some point in time, I may develop that habit, but that was a roadblock. It was absolutely a roadblock, and it was because of my bullheadedness. Don't do that. Don't allow that to impede your progress or what you're doing. You're in control of this. Are you going to make errors? Yes. Now, here's something that I also want to challenge you with, and that is sometimes people are going to laugh, make fun of what you're doing. Turn that into a challenge. And as I look at the biographies of many people, I see that happening. Somebody says it can't be done. You can't get there from here. Oh, yes, I can. You just watch. That is the best form of revenge, is to be able to do it. And instead, many of us shrink away. We don't take the challenge. What is the talent challenge facing you today? What is the big challenge that you're after? Do you have the courage to stand there? And even if you don't stand there, do you have the courage to go back and do it until it's right? Do you? Are you sure? Make a commitment to yourself that you can do it, or you can get far enough down the road that you may see a better way to go. Oftentimes when you climb to the top of a hill, you can see so much better. You have that bird's eye view that you can't see when you're in the valley. Sometimes putting the two together is exceptional. Exceptional. This is why you talk to people. I've mentioned this, and it's been quite some time, but Henry Ford and Edison and Goodyear and some others used to have an annual men's week of camping, fishing, whatever they did out there. They were in completely different businesses. But what they brought with them was basic success, whether it was making tires, whether it was making cars, whether it was making telephones. Whatever it was, there are secrets there. You are going to be the sum of most of the people that you spend your time with. Are you spending time with people that can help you? Are you spending time with people that can inspire you, motivate you, or that you can be motivated by seeing what they are doing? Your mind is flexible enough to pick up ideas? This is what we're talking about. This is basically what we've been talking about the entire program. You have people that you can talk with. If not, find you some new friends. I'm not saying that you have to shut off all of them, but particularly if you have negative friends, if you have people that, oh, man, you're just smiling and glad to see, but then by the time it comes to part, you're just worn out. They may not be the people that you need to spend that time with. You may need to spend people that are more positive, looking forward, even if it's not in the same industry. And I've talked about something that may need to be tackled again. Some papers have events that are taking place in the community. And I've talked about it always being on Saturday, but it may be on a different day where you are. Look at the different clubs. Look at the different people that are coming in. I had a week last week, like, fantastic as far as I was concerned. As part of the Spartanburg Public Library, they had partnered with the Greenville, South Carolina Library and put on performances by Chautauqua. And that's a program where actors come in. They are in character, and they talk about what they have done. Sometimes it's real old, sometimes not. But one of those people was Steve Jobs. We got a chance to see how he operated. The actor that portrayed him has spent years studying him, knows him inside and out. Now, as we talk about that, there may be some people in which that is exactly what they want to do. They can immerse themselves in a character. One of them was a portrayal by, I believe it was Stephen Seals. He works in Virginia. Anyway, I'll think of the place. But he was giving a portrayal of James Armistead Lafayette. I had written about James Armistead Lafayette several years ago, but he brought depth to that character. He inspired me all over as to what can be done with that post and what can be done with others. I found out why, in some cases, I had a brief flurry with history because somebody made it come to life. I mean, they brought life to it, and I had an interest for a flicker of a second until I got into it again. And that's what I try to do. And I find that from time to time, I need the inspiration. I need to see how other people are doing it. I need to see when they're doing it well. I need to see when they're not doing it well. I need to understand what I can do and what I can't do. And these are things that hopefully bring me little bit by little bit closer to what I really want to do. And so this is part of the process that you need to be living and need to be living now. How many of you are taking any notes whatsoever? If you're not taking notes, I suggest that you go back, replay this. There is an archive. And replay it and get to the point of trying to make some notes about what goes on. Here is a suggestion that I have for you and also for students, some of our younger listeners, and I do hope that we have them, because success needs to be a part of their lives from the very beginning when they barely understand to when they're actually doing. And what I had suggested doing, because I'll ask my grandkids sometimes, I used to ask them when they were in school, what did you learn today? Oh, nothing. Well, if you didn't learn anything, why are you going? You're learning something. Be able to summarize what you have learned. It's important because it teaches you how to get something out of the message that you are hearing. It doesn't have to be lesson. It could be something else. You may see somebody blow their top and say, wow, this could have prevented if they had done this. Believe it or not, there may come a situation in which that saves you a ton of money, energy, embarrassment, whatever the case may be. We learn from life by watching it, by experiencing it. And one of the things that I often worry about, when my kids went to school, I realized that they're not perfect. They will lie to me. I realized that when I went, there were times when I would take advantage of a small lie or two here and there. I'm not going to embarrass myself and go down to tell somebody that my kid would never do this or that or the other. And I had a prime example right in my house. I had talked to a teacher, and I said, if you ever have a problem, let me know. We'll work on it together. And Sun John was such a situation. The teacher complained that he would always get in to his class at the last minute, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you can fill in all of the details. I worked about 40 miles away. My wife worked much closer. So she went to the school. She sat in the classroom, asked people where he sit, and she sat in the seat right behind where he did. Sure enough, as the bell rings, he jumps through the threshold, and he's acting a pure D fool, an absolute clown. And so as he's doing his clown stunt back to his seat, the kids are signaling him, and he thinks, oh, man, I must be hot today. And he's just doing it and doing it, and he sits down and gets a slap upside the head. His mother, who he hadn't even seen, said, you continue that, and I'll be here every day, every day. Sometimes this is what it takes. Sometimes we have to be aware of what we're doing, and we have to make it known. Now, many times when we as adults are working on our success, we have to battle our own selves. We have to wake ourselves up. I did this, but I'm not sure that I got the most out of it. Sometimes we want to move on. Sometimes we need to stay there and straighten out. Because here's what happens many times. Students go to school. They get behind a day or two or three or four. And the further they get behind, the more difficult the work is to catch up because you don't have a solid foundation. This is why the Bible stresses so much. Build your church on a rock, a firm foundation. Don't build it on sand. This is what happened to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It was an alluvial piece of soil. That meant the water was coming up in it, and it was not on a solid foundation, at least not solid enough for that type of soil. And so we have to build on a solid foundation. And sometimes that means we have to be tough on ourselves. Nobody can be tougher on you than you are yourself. Don't let someone else determine your future. It can't be done. So many people have said this, that, the other can't be done. I remember at one time thinking that you could not make a flat screen TV because every TV that I'd seen had this hump coming out the back for part of that picture tube. How in the world are you going to shrink that down? It's been done. It's been done because somebody refused to accept no for an answer. They refused to. As a kid, I read Dick Tracy, and Dick Tracy had a two-way wrist radio. His watch was a radio. He could talk to headquarters on this thing. And then finally it turned into a two-way wrist TV. Oh, man, that's way out in the future. I'll never see that. But we have them. That's because somebody refused to accept no. They said, I'm going to find a way. This is what success is all about. If the first time somebody laughs at you, you're going to wither like a flower and draw up and die. Just quit now. Quit now. But you have to have that faith. Have faith that the Lord would not have made you and made a piece of junk. Yeah, some people have different handicaps, if you will. Some people may have problems physically, mentally, emotionally, but that doesn't mean that they can't ever do anything. I talked to a lady the other day, and I was in a medical facility, was talking to her about her son, how she got into medicine to start with. She gave birth to a son that was expected to live 2 to 3 weeks. But she refused to accept that. And she had him for 31 years. 31 years. Now, the medical people, the most brilliant minds in medicine say you may have him 2 or 3 weeks. She refused to accept that. Prayer, work, determination makes all the difference in the world. And I want you to take that. I want you to have that faith in yourself. Have your faith in God that you were put here for a purpose, that you are going to fulfill that purpose, that you're not going to let him down, that you're not going to let yourself down. Yeah, you might have a difficult path to climb, but you can do it. This is the reason that I spend time, and I enjoy the time that I spend. Speaking of which, we're within about 5 minutes of the time that we close. And I know that we have a great program coming on afterwards because Deacon Wes Armstrong is going to bring it tonight. You'll find that on Crown Talking Drums we have a bevy of programs. Some of them are going to be for you. Give them a chance. Look at the schedule that we have. I'm glad that you picked this one tonight. I hope to see you again here next week. I also want to see you at Sunday at 4 o'clock where we talk about history and those things that are necessary. We talk about biographies. We talk about people that have refused to give up, knowing they have been blessed. They have been blessed with something unique. And that's what the Lord has given us. With that, I'm going to sign off so that Deacon Armstrong can sign on. The program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. The opinions that you've heard are those of the host, John C. Abercrombie, which is myself. And I want you to have a blessed week, but spend time looking at your success, and how to make it possible. Thank you for listening. See you on Sunday. And to each and every listener, be blessed, my friends, be blessed. And I'll see you again at those times. Thank you.